Let's go back to the age of Aquarius. Now, that was the 60s and the 70s when the American food revolution erupted. A young French chef was pretty near the forefront. Now, I don't think he knew it at the time. He was Jacques Pepin. And my first memory of Jacques was him demonstrating in a department store in Brooklyn. He'd pick up a knife and everybody would sigh. During his breaks, he'd come upstairs and make omelets for the staff, and he just charmed us. I mean, we thought he was the hottest thing on two legs, and his food was pretty swell, too. Well, Jacques now has full master status as a culinary groundbreaker, a TV star, and a consummate teacher. He joins us with his 26th book. It's called Essential Pepin, More Than 700 All-Time Favorites from My Life in Food. Jacques, it's good to have you back with us.
Delighted to be here.
You know, I'd like to talk about that time, going back to when you first came to the United States, because you were there when this immense interest in food began. And it began on both coasts. I mean, it began in New York City, and you were in the midst of it. So you started out in New York in the 1960s.
Right.
At that time, who impressed you the most, and what impressed you the most?
Well, certainly the first time I went in a supermarket was in America. Supermarket did not exist in France, and I thought it was kind of nifty to have one place where you could buy everything instead of going to the fishmonger and the vegetable and to get your milk in one place, and everything was there. I was, however, surprised of the amount of packaging and not that much vegetable. Great meat, I mean, terrific beef, lamb, lobster, but one salad, iceberg, that's it. No leek, no shallot, no oriental vegetable, no oil and different vinegar and all that stuff did not exist. So it was different, but exciting at the same time. I mean, I came here in September 1959, and by next year, well, Craig Claiborne was at the New York Times, just started, and came to the pavilion where I was working to do a piece. And I became friends with Craig, and Craig introduced me to Helen McCauley, the food editor of McCall and House Beautiful after. And she kind of became my surrogate mother. And Helen spoke with James Beard on the telephone like 2 hours every day about the whole food world. So through Helen, I met James Beard. And then a few weeks later, or a few months later, rather, in spring 1960 or something like that, she said, "Can you look at that manuscript? I have a manuscript here to review, and I think it's pretty good." And I look and I say, "Gee, this is pretty good." And she said, "Well, the woman is from California. She's going to come next week. Let's cook for her." I mean, she said, she's a very big woman with a terrible voice. And of course, that was Julia. So My point is that the trinity of cooking, if you want, which was Julia Child and James Beard and, of course, Craig Claiborne, I knew those people within like 6-8 months that I was here. So that shows you how small the food world was.
The thing, too, you mentioned in a conversation we had, that coming from France, you were used to a class system where a chef would not have had the kind of freedom that you had here in the United States.
Oh, yeah, without any question, it extends more than to the chef. I mean, the social class were quite different. I mean, I remember in France working in big restaurant or big hotel, Plaza Athénée, Maxime, Fouquet's in Paris. And the cooking was pretty rigid, you know, and organized and disciplined. Certainly at the Plaza Athénée, we cut the tomato one way, and I never even questioned it. That was the way things were. And that's what happened for us, for me, certainly, with Nouvelle Cuisine. All of a sudden, I cut the tomato in the other direction and did other things. And that was certainly Nouvelle for me, or for people like André Saltner or Alain Seyac, people my age, because we had known what it was before. Mm-hmm. For most of the people, those were not Nouvelle Cuisine. This is the way they learned, and that's the way it was, period.
How do you think the American palate has changed?
Well, this is an impossible question. You know, on one hand, there is a dichotomy that often for the European, they look at American who basically eat five dish, and that's hot dog, hamburger, you know, fried chicken, pizza, and I don't know, canned macaroni or whatever. And to a certain extent, there is truth in there. You know, when you go to the mall crowd, if you want, people who are there eat those dish over and over, and that's what they eat. So in that context, the spectrum of taste is going to be shorter than for most Europeans. However, conversely, you go into, all over the country now, certainly, but I mean, New York, San Francisco, the big town, the diversity of food is much larger than it would be in any European country because it's America. And that's the way it is. In France, we eat 99.9% French. And in Italy, you eat 99.99% Italian. And in Germany as well, or Switzerland. But in America, no. That's the whole point. So in that context, the spectrum of taste is much larger than most Europeans, which often Europeans don't realize, of course.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because done well, each one of those five dishes you talked about are also brilliant dishes.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I teach at Boston University for 29 years and at the French Culinary Institute in New York here. And, you know, young chefs, they get all excited. They want to do something very complicated. By this, they want to do like a big caramel cage.
Something very fancy.
Or something fancy and esoteric and different and all that. So what are we going to do? Today, I say, okay, why don't we make a hot dog today, lobster roll and a BLT? People say, are you kidding or what? I say, no, see, that's the whole point. You have to go in depth. There is always a better way of doing it. There is a better way of doing anything. And this is why you'll go to that place and say, I never had a hot dog like in that place. I mean, the bread that they had, type of hot dog, the mustard, the way it's cooked, whatever it is, but you can go always in depth and have it better. And you will remember that. And you remember a great hamburger or a great piece of chicken or anything else. So you don't have to be complicated. You can, as I say, always work in depth, you know.
I must say, you rarely say, I'll never forget that anchovy foam.
Yeah, that's true.
Jacques, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be on your show.
Jacques Pepin's author of Essential Pepin. Now, true to Jacques' love of simplicity, try his bread and onion soup. The recipe's on the website, splendidtable.org.